Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
It's the series fucking finale!
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 7, Episode 55, Asses to Ashes. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Tara and Dave.
Hello. I think Dave may have said episode 55. It only feels like that. It's episode 35.
It's fine.
We're not re-recording it.
No, we're not.
No, we come not to praise Melrose, but to bury it. But first, an announcement about Again With This. There isn't one this Friday because May has five Fridays and that's just how we do. But episode 194, which drops June 7th, we'll be watching Courtney Thorne Smith in Jack's Place. What the hell is Jack's Place? We will explain all of that. It is season 1, episode 4. It's called Everything Old is New Again, ironically. You can find it on YouTube. We'll link it in the show notes, but we hope that you will join us for that and all of the other dozens and dozens of episodes that we've recorded.
We sure do hope that. We also want to let our high rollers know that anyone who is pledged at the $5 level and up is going to get an episode this week, even though there won't be one on Friday. Thursday, May 30th, it's time to drop the May edition of Again With Them. That's our monthly recap digest of 90210 OMG, Jenny and Tori's awful podcast, which is now apparently spinning off more and more awful podcasts every week. There's another one. Tori's got one. Fucking Jenny's got one. What's she going to talk about? We have no idea. She can't remember anything, but regardless, that's not what we're here to talk about. It's OMG only. We can't tell you what you might hear because we're recording this in the time machine. In fact, we have not even recorded the April episode as we're recording this. So,
right.
Some nonsense is going to happen. They've made it to season 6. Presumably, we're going to hear about Tony Marchat, other stuff like that. Anyway, againwiththispodcast.com/club. Join us at any level to get those Friday bonus episodes and join us at the $5 level or more to get Again With Them each and every month. Again, as we tell you, listen to us. Never listen to them on any of their podcasts.
No.
Together never. Or apart.
And if one of them shows up on Shandos, proceed with caution. That's all we're saying. Oh. We're looking out for you.
Yeah. Well, I might have listened to those, but that's a story for another day. Let's get into the series finale of Melrose Place.
Ah, finally.
I can't believe we're actually here. Starting with our B plot, the McBros finally figure out how to do life with the right blondes. Supposedly, we open where we left off with Terry having just driven into a telephone pole, except that shot was done on a real road in the previous episode, and we're picking up on the corner of definitely a soundstage, as you can see in the visual aids. Because it's the series finale, and there isn't many money left to make shit look good at all.
No. Also, more than one actor got a haircut.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in the middle, ostensibly in the middle of a conversation, people went out and got fucking haircuts.
Yeah.
Not Jane, though.
We'll alas. Alas. Ryan runs up to the car and tries to pull Terry out, but she screams at him to get Sarah first. And wow, this all sure seems like exactly how things went down with Callie, except for the part where the O'Brien sister lives this time, because Ryan does manage to free Terry before the car blows up, because when you know better, you do better. Good job, Ryan. Later at the hospital, Sarah is cleared to go home. She whines about going to the wedding reception, and Ryan agrees to let her come for one piece of cake, which, like, she almost died. Give her two.
Yeah, give her a whole fucking level.
Yes. Give her two, or, you know, maybe do the party in a couple of weeks. She could have died, but whatever. Terry comes out right behind them. absolutely beaming as though she didn't just fucking kidnap Sarah and nearly kill her 2 hours ago. But, you know, bygones? No one's being charged. She tearfully says she just couldn't bear to lose Sarah and she was tortured by Megan and Ryan's happiness. None of that has changed at all. So surely now she's going to be mentally A-okay, I guess. In fact, Megan stops Terry's babbling to say they understand, and Terry adds this, clip two.
Brian, I know now what Callie meant when she was in the car trapped and she said, take Sarah. She wanted you to do more than just save her. She wanted you to raise her, and I just couldn't admit that to myself.
Yeah, this isn't something that needed figuring out, you know? Like,
yeah.
Ryan's Sarah's father, he was then as well. I think Callie would have assumed that he would raise her, but whatever, it's the series finale. Terry hopes Ryan can forgive her, and he presumptuously answers on behalf of him and Megan that we do. And then over to Kyle, who's signing papers. He's watching them all leave without saying goodbye to him when Jane bursts out of somewhere and runs into his arms, grateful he's okay. He says everyone's fine, and clip three.
Man, what a weird day.
Okay, guy, this is like a 4 for this show, actually, yeah. Of weirdness.
Uh-huh. Maybe if you or your brother, Jimmy Ray Vaughan, were a little more interesting, it would rate higher, but you aren't, so it didn't. Although it is kind of a weird day when you go out and find an entire rack of Elvis inky black hair dye and put it on yourself between wedding and reception.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Rob Estes doing this? Like, was he playing Elvis on some in some off-Broadway thing? It's so bad, this dye. It's mm-hmm. so bad.
It's really unconvincing. Anyway, all of the day's events have Kyle thinking, Jane too. She starts to say there's still something she needs to tell him, but he barrels over her to wonder if the two of them are rushing into things. Because they can travel and see the world and then jump into the heavy stuff, which is when she announces she's pregnant. Clip 4.
Oh. Well, I mean, like I said, you know, who needs to travel? Why take our time? We can just jump right in. Mike, I can't. This is incredible. Oh, my God.
Are you sure? I mean, a second ago, you were...
This is everything that I have always wanted.
Your boys could swim. We get it. Cut, please.
They could swim before. So if this is everything you ever wanted, maybe you shouldn't have knocked your last embryo and its mom through a window then. But no one's mentioning that right now.
Certainly, we would never bring it up. That would be in poor taste.
Jane has a doctor's appointment in 5 minutes that she booked on the day of her brother-in-law's wedding, and Kyle assures her he's the happiest man on the face of the planet. And then Jane's doctor's estimating she's 2.5 months along, which maybe Jane is. Josie Bassett is like 5 months if she's a day, but...
Oh my God, at least. I mean, she looks great and more power to her, but yeah. Wow.
Right.
The number of file folders she's been opening in front of herself just in the last 2 episodes, like, go with God, please.
Yeah.
Right now. Do it right now.
A lot of blazers being, like, held out. Anyway.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That timeline means Kyle's not the father, it's Michael. And at the rock and roll club later, Kyle makes a toast to Ryan and Megan and introduces their first dance. Kyle asks Jane how it went with the doctor, and she tensely says everything's fine, and then some other stuff happens, and when we come back to them, Jane's on stage looking guilty as hell as Kyle announces that he and Jane are expecting a baby, so everyone present is invited to their wedding. I guess I missed a proposal. Peter comments that they move fast, while Amanda looks stricken, but quickly recovers and calls it perfect closure. Megan notes Jane's expression and follows her into the can to ask what's wrong. Jane tells her the situation. She was working on a way to tell Kyle, but now she can't. She'll just have to deal with it by leaving him in a letter, then starting a new life somewhere no one knows her. Like, who do you think you are, Chris?
Learn from the best.
Maybe. Megan tells Jane she can't do that, but Jane says she has no other choice and is leaving tomorrow. Extremely good job being an adult, Jane. Jesus. Megan asks if this is goodbye, and Jane sadly nods that it is, adding that Megan is being a good friend, which, like, when? But she orders Megan not to tell anyone. Megan agrees, but they should have checked for feet, because guess who was in a stall the whole time? the other blonde. So the next day, Amanda shows up at the building site just as Kyle hangs a mobile from a beam like a fucking idiot. She's happy for him. He says he looked for her last night, but she was gone. She says, "You think you can handle something like that?" And then emotion sneaks up on you. She starts to leave, but Kyle can tell something's bothering her, so Amanda tells him Jane's plan. And if he hurries, he can catch her. Kyle doesn't understand, so Amanda further tells him the baby isn't his. Amanda could never give Kyle his dream. I mean, she tried. But Jane can and will if Kyle stops her, and Kyle's got a lot to think about. So he heads home just in time to catch Jane and tell her he knows everything. He doesn't care who the father is. He wants to raise the baby. Nothing has changed. Jane whines that he says that now, but he can't predict looking at the baby for the first time and knowing it's not biologically related to him. Kyle repeats that he wants to raise this baby as theirs. Clip 5.
"You'll give it my name. And Michael will never know. It is simple. It's as simple and honest and true as how much I love you."
I mean, good luck with that legally, but also, you can tell Michael. He won't care.
No, he won't.
Sorry. He already has a kid. Somewhere on the East Coast, wherever Taylor ended up. Doesn't care about that. Like, I'm pretty sure that if you're just like, "Well, this happened. Do you want any part of this? Can you sign this saying that you'll stay away?" He'll happily do it. Happily.
Yeah.
But also, who cares? It's the series finale. Good luck to you both. You seem very happy.
Well, totally. Do what you want. I'm just saying, don't congratulate yourself on how honest it is when the whole thing is.
Honest and true. Right. Are you even divorced yet, Kyle?
Yeah. Anyway, whatever. Jane's convinced. And from here, they all cross into the A-plot and we'll see him there. Speaking of the A-plot, here it is. Eve enters her Kimberly Shaw era.
Oh, God. She wishes, but yes.
She does, but you know. At the hotel where Peter and Amanda are living now, we're reminded that there's already a hitch in Amanda and Peter's long-awaited reunion. Clip 6.
"Listen, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I brought it up. I know you've been trying to forget about this murder your entire life, but I talked to Visconti and I just... I'm sorry."
"It's true. I killed Kent Damar."
Wait, what? What?
Why
fuck?
Now?
It's the series fucking finale!
I mean, remind me, did they know that this was the series finale and they just kind of wet farted all of this into a single hour? Which, by the way, this was 43 minutes.
I'm pretty sure they knew.
Yeah, I think they have to have.
Based on the way it ends, like, everyone's shit is getting wrapped up. There's no cliffhangers. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? This feels like an ending that was known.
Yeah.
So.
Ugh, all right.
Here's what the fuck. Eve did push Kent and Amanda ran away, but clip 7.
"Halfway home, I realized I'd lost my bracelet. It was in Kent's hand. I found him in that hole where Eve had put him. I thought he was dead, but when I went to get the bracelet out of his hand, he grabbed me. He would have killed me, so I hit him. Just that one time, but it was enough."
"Well, that's self-defense. It's..."
"That's what I told my mother. I told her the whole story. She made me swear never to tell anyone. She was friends with Mrs. Damar. It was a class thing. Just like Eve always said."
"So those visits to prison to see Eve were..."
"Out of guilt and to see if she remembered anything."
"I know she has."
"Guess it's my turn for prison."
Well, the writers can go with you then, because this is some grade A bullshit character assassination. Like, is Amanda always like a fun, wonderful, sweet, cuddly person? No, she sure isn't. But this kind of underhanded, A.
Mm-mm.
B, we have met her mother. She got a whole fucking spinoff. That's out of character for her. And her father was a con man. That's not exactly Richie Rich territory.
Yeah.
could anyone go back and watch any episode of season one ever, yeah. please?
I mean, spoiler, I'm happy with where things end up, but the way they get there, this is cruel. Like, this is so rude yeah. to the character of Amanda.
Yeah. And to kind of to Eve also, like, I don't really have any use for Eve, but just have her go berserk for some other reason.
Right.
It's the series finale. Do we have to prove that Eve wasn't crazy?
Yeah.
She is crazy.
Yes. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's just funny. I guess it's my turn for prison. Yes, everyone gets a turn. That's how the show works. Mm-hmm. But Peter yeah. says he's not going to let that happen. Back at the complex, Lexi's gloating that Eve remembered enough to put Amanda away for life. First, they'll need someone to record her official statement. And Lexi is calling information for the DA's office when Eve sneaks up behind her and knocks her out with a peppermill. And we come out of the credits to what I'm going to call the goopiest sub music yet, clip 8.
Sweet memories I will keep here with me, and I will wait eternally for your return so patiently.
Awful.
What do you think was originally in there?
Oh, God, who knows?
Green Day's Time of Your Life, because that would really make me laugh. I think it might be yes. too early for that, but.
So then Michael's going up to Lexi's place and hears a voice yelling to him to come in. It's Eve tapping food into the aquarium, which I guess is why the fish got a mention in the episode where Tony died. I don't know. They don't come up again, but whatever.
Mm-mm.
Eve very casually says she's looking after the place while Lexi's out of town closing a big new account. Michael is suspicious that Lexi's taking a break from her main obsession, which is using Eve to destroy Amanda, and adds that he fears Lexi's only doing that to get back with Peter. But Eve cheerfully says it didn't work. Everything she remembered about Amanda was just some crazy stuff she dreamed up. Eve tells Michael to lock up, adding on her way out that Lexi is still madly in love with Michael, so there's nothing for Michael to worry about. But then Eve steals back down to her place where Lexi is tied up in the bathtub and for literally no reason has been stripped to her underwear. Like,
mm-hmm.
you can't even say it's because Eve wants to wear her clothes, which also happens later, spoiler, because she has free access to Lexi's apartments. Like, why is she in her underwear? Why? Never explained.
Yeah. I mean, because as you have been seeing in the visual aids throughout the season, no one's a huge underwear fan, but no. definitely Jamie Lunar and pair of undies not really on speaking terms in this season. So now she's wearing underwear? Sure.
Yeah. So Eve reports that she threw Michael off the trail. She's also brushing her teeth in this scene. Completely pasteless brush, also uh-huh. for no reason. No spitting.
And with a ton of lipstick on already, uh-huh. like, oh my God, please, please stop.
Eve's plan is to kill Amanda and Peter, and she's got oodles to do, so Lexi should have a great day. Then Michael finds Peter in the hall and claims Dr. Shulman's once again running down the sketchy financial doings of the Children's Fund, and she suspects Peter, we are not doing this again. I'm so mad about it.
I know. Her hair is flawless late 90s beveled bob, though. This
yes.
is the only thing that I will accept
mm-hmm.
about this plot.
True.
Is her hair, which looks very cute. But just fuck off, seriously. Yeah, take Visconti with you, Jesus.
But also, since we are doing this, it's a private fund that was started by Peter's exes. Why is it Dr. Shulman's business at all? Like, this isn't like he stole hospital money.
No.
And all the hospital money is his money now anyway, we're given to understand. He bought it.
Whatever. And if this was a problem, then law enforcement would have frozen these accounts the first time, which
yes.
apparently they didn't do.
No. So Peter asks if it ever occurred to Michael to accept the blame himself, and Michael claims he tried, almost, kind of, but Dr. Shulman's after Peter, and all the evidence is on Peter's computer, and then investigators are filing out of Peter's office with boxes and hardware to take to the DA's office. Michael takes off just ahead of Eve, chirping up to Peter, who shoves her into his office and asks about this Amanda stuff. Eve smiles that Dr. V should keep his mouth shut, adding that what she told Dr. V was just wacky dreams. She was transforming her jealousy into fantasy, but has realized it was totally absurd, and she's more than okay now. She's finally over Peter, which, like, he dumped her 3 days ago.
What do you mean, finally?
But he only cringes a little as she plants an extremely red and smeary kiss on his cheek, leaving a huge kiss mark, which you can see in the visual aids. And that night, it's Ryan and Megan's reception, as previously discussed. Eve rushes over to Peter and Amanda to say how glad she is that they came. Peter told Amanda that Eve's memories were just harmless dreams, right? And Peter says he did, so she turns her attention to Amanda. Clip 9.
Will you ever be able to forgive me? I mean, it just seems so real, so plausible. I mean, you were from the DeMar same side of the tracks, so a cover-up made absolutely perfect sense. But I know that you would never do that to me behind my back. I mean, how could you live with yourself?
I'm glad it's resolved.
Me too. Now we can all be friends again, you know, you and me and Peter and Kyle. All at the same party together, getting along. It's remarkable.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Well, I think I'm gonna mingle. I see a few single men out there. I wouldn't want to miss any opportunities.
I mean, I'll give Rena Sofer this. She's much more convincing as this, like, knife edge of sanity performance than she was as a singer.
Yeah.
At the rock and roll club or the LOL underground club in her J. Jill jacket. Bless.
Great point. I agree. Oh, boy.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The next day, Peter returns to his office and wildly overreacts to seeing the investigators there, considering this is day two of said investigation. They'll be turning over their findings to the DA in a few hours. And clip 10.
I know what you're thinking, Peter. You're thinking, how could this be happening to me? I've got the money, I've got the girl. Where's my happy ending? Well, here's my theory on that. Live like a rat, die like a rat.
Here's my theory on that. The fuck are you talking about, Dr. Shulman? That's not an expression.
No, but, you know, way to make the most of the little time you have left, I guess. I mean, I don't care about you, but...
never saw her again.
Seriously. I mean, well, almost. She does have a later scene, believe it or not. It's implausible that she would be there, but it's implausible that a lot of people in that scene would be there. We'll get to it. That night, Michael lets himself in at Lexi's and starts getting romantic as soon as he sees that good old red hair of hers. Clip 11.
There you are. Well, you go out of town and you don't call me, huh? And you come back and you don't tell me?
Ah, the hell with that. I'm just glad you're here. Oh, boy, I miss that backside.
I mean, fair. He is, but backside? Like, what's next, derriere? That's so funny.
Also, if you missed it that much, you'd think you'd recognize that it's 6 inches lower than usual and not the same person or the same hair color.
Yeah.
Sure, nighttime soap. Let's just get this done.
Yeah. I mean, Eve said she had oodles to do, and she did. She had to go buy that wig. And then Peter and Amanda are dancing on a patio, and there's a sign on the wall calling it Bell Vista Restaurant, but this set is absolutely Kyle's. Like, you can see the...
Kyle's.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Whatever. Amanda thinks they're kind of acting like Nero while Rome burned. She asks if Peter is scared, and he says he doesn't want to be away from her. And it's too bad they don't have co-ed jails. He thinks he'll probably face 5 to 10 and she'll do more, but they could also just blow town. And as they walk out from wherever they are, Peter has fleshed out his fugitive plan. Clip 12.
Taking a big chunk of my cash, we get out of the country before anybody misses us.
And you don't think that's the same as a mission of guilt?
Well, who gives a damn? I mean, how does it get much worse? How did you feel last night at that reception?
I felt like a stranger.
Exactly. We can be strangers anywhere.
You're right. I mean, it makes sense. I just wish it felt right.
Arkham Street.
That was Lexi's car. Are you two okay?
Yeah, we're fine. We're fine.
I got to look at the driver. It was a woman.
With red hair?
Yeah, did you see her too?
I know her.
Well, listen, I already called 911 and they're on the way, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is beautiful. Now Lexi's trying to kill us.
Great!
I know. Now the power's out. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly done.
Yes. Also supporting the idea that they definitely knew this was the end is the fact that that's Nancy O'Dell saying that she saw the driver. And so I think that suggests, you know, Entertainment Tonight was, or Access Hollywood was there doing a story about the end, and they gave her a nice little cameo, which is cute. So then, of course, it was not Lexi in the car, because Lexi's still tied up in the tub and still undressed, but now Michael's with her, tied up and not undressed. Rip. Lexi frees her hands and ungags Michael, explaining who hit him. She catches him up on the rest of what she knows before they both creep out to the courtyard, and clip 13.
It's this building. It makes people nuts. Happened to Kimberly. She was the first. He maybe it's the pool of the water. You jump in, you go bonkers, you know? Sort of like the opposite of Lourdes.
Michael, shut up.
God, hit me in the head with a hammer.
What?
Kimberly, she hit me in the head with a hammer. Now, come to think of it, I was pretty normal when I moved in here, too. I was a regular Joe, and Jane was a regular Jane, and Sydney, and, Amanda?
Yes, hello, police. I'd like to report a lunatic on the loose.
Police, open up!
Well, that was fast.
I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be mad, but that's such a, like, police squad level of joke.
I know. Why? I mean, she actually, once they gave her this tone, she actually made up a lot of ground with me. Because, I mean, she's still not great, but she's so much better at this. I've said it before.
Yep. No, it's true. Well, you'll never get to say it again because it's the end.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the cops are there to arrest Lexi in her underwear. Michael defends her, but they just arrest him too. Lexi can't believe that Michael's throwing himself on the grenade like this, but he never wants to leave her side again, and they both profess their love. And then at the cop shop, Amanda's giving her statement about Lexi's jealousy when Lexi and Michael are let in, contradicting Amanda's impressions and saying it was actually Eve. Peter says Lexi's lying, but Lexi tells him everything she knows, including that Amanda murdered Kent. And Peter snits that the murder was solved 15 years ago, but Amanda confesses she's lived with the guilt for too long. And sometime later, Dr. V lets himself into his office where Peter is already lurking in the dark. When the door is secure, Dr. V says he's already heard about Amanda's confession. And Peter steps out of the shadows with his very handsome leather weekender bag, says Amanda has not been charged yet, and then tells Dr. V about Eve trying to kill them. Dr. V swears he doesn't know where she is, and Peter opens the bag, which is full of bundled hundreds, and hands Dr. V a couple to rent his cabin for a few days. Dr. V hesitates until Peter yells for the keys, which is when Dr. V tells Peter to keep his money. If someone asks about the keys, he'll say they were stolen, and Peter leaves Dr. V to shit a brick alone. And then Amanda's back at the fucking house building site. Kyle heard about her troubles, which is one way to describe them.
Yes.
And when she asks what happened with Jane, Kyle recaps, leave it to the professionals. He asks her not to tell Michael anything about it, but she doubts she'll have the chance. Kyle says that sounds like she's planning to go somewhere. Amanda says she's bad at goodbyes and isn't going to tell him where she's going. She's lived a lot of lives, 8 by her count, so there's one left. Whichever one of those was the one she shared with him, Kyle thanks her. She'll miss him and this place and all the people. And I will too, at least the good years. Kyle finally joins the rest of us in noticing she's still wearing his fucking necklace, asking when Peter's going to make her take it off. And it'll be when Kyle has a daughter to give it to the baby as a gift. And if he has a boy, she'll send him a baseball glove because it's 1999 and we didn't know about the gender binary being a construct then. They wish each other a good life. She slips away. Back at the complex, Lexi is swimming laps when Michael bustles in. Clip 14.
All right, baby. Out of the pool, let's go. We are getting married tonight. Hey, this is Judge Hernandez. I ran into him in outpatient care. He's a little out of it. He just had a growth removed. But anyway, in lieu of my inflated surgery fee, he has agreed to perform our ceremony tonight right here. And Lewis here has agreed to be our witness.
I mean, congratulations to this man playing Dr. Visconti, because there's absolutely no reason for him to be there. He only serves as like the chess piece for other chess pieces to take. But he's doing a great job. Well done.
Yes. Also, based on his pronunciation of ceremony in that clip, I wonder if Thomas Calabro started the rap party a little early.
Yeah, could be.
Lexi laughs that she's not getting out, so Michael just jumps in fully clothed, and then so do Dr. V and the judge, and it's so stupid, but I kind of love it. Like, they both are all just like, well, like, they, you know, they were told, we got to do this in one take, and they all do, and it's great.
Yep, and look, that series finale vibe.
We get it.
So Judge Hernandez gives them the abridged version of the wedding ceremony, but when it's Lexi's turn to vow, clip 15.
Do you, Lexi, take this man, Michael Mancini, to be all those same things?
You know what? You better list them.
Okay. In sickness and in health, for richer or poorer, promising to love, honor, and trust all the days of your lives.
Said I do.
Yeah, but I don't.
You said you would.
I can't.
You can't?
She can't.
You have to.
I'm sorry, Mikey.
But you said you want to do this right away. How much more right away could we get?
Michael, 2 months, 3 months down the road, I'm going to cheat on you or lie or break your heart. You're a great guy. You don't deserve that. I think we should just end it here before it gets too deep. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry too, Michael.
Are ya?
Of all the things to not wrap up, like, why not this? We've just finished saying how much we like the two of them together against all odds. Rip off.
Yeah, plus if she gets to cheat on him, he can cheat on her. Like, I doubt that he would have any problem with the more poly approach.
Yes.
To Very the institution, true. Especially given his inability to stay monogamous in the past. So, yeah, it seems like kind of a bummer.
Yeah, it's too bad. So then we're at a cabin with Peter and Amanda. When she is quiet, he assures her that their plan is going to work. He mentions all the speed bumps they've already experienced over the years. Me trying to kill you is not one of them, in case you were wondering.
No, and never is.
No, Amanda's scared about leaving the country forever, but Peter doing this for her is everything. And back at the complex, Michael's just changed out of his wet clothes when Dr. Shulman bursts into his place with a bunch of cops to say Amanda and Peter blew town. Dr. Shulman very much would not be part of this posse. Like, she's just a doctor at a hospital. This isn't part of her job. But I guess it's just so she and her lover, Dr. V, can see each other there. And since Michael's shirtless in a towel and Dr. V's in a robe, she jumps to, "You're gay?" Not unreasonably, I suppose. Michael waves that off and says he saw Peter and Amanda at the cop shop and they're staying at the Bel Air Hotel. The detective says they left without checking out. So the theory is they're trying to leave the country. Michael can't imagine it. Dr. Shulman can tell Dr. V is hiding something, and all it takes is asking him three times for him to say he knows where they are. And then everyone, including Michael for some reason, is pulling up outside of Dr. V's cabin. The lights are on inside and the detective orders an armed raid by like a half a dozen cops. Michael asks to try to bring Amanda and Peter out himself, and the detective gives him 2 minutes. But when Michael's a few yards away from the door, the cabin explodes. And Michael decides to wait until the next day to go to the beach house with the newspaper, which reports that Amanda and Peter are dead. And you can see in the visual aids, hilariously, the paper sourced like official headshots for both of them, but didn't like edit them to make them the same size. Bad design.
No.
Officially, it was a propane explosion, but they both had plane reservations for South America. They were identified from dental records. Michael has some of Amanda's personal effects, but he didn't see a locket. And the funeral is today. And, you know, I have in my notes, I guess if you're not burying anything, that's fine. Like, it's not like you have to throw anything together except like renting some chairs and getting a photo blown up. But
yeah,
I put a pin in that.
I had a similar note that I was like, I hesitate to be cremation cop. And then it was like, oh, wait.
Right.
They already, in theory, were cremated.
Well, we'll get to it. So then we're at the hastily assembled beach memorial. Kyle gives a dull yet in character eulogy for Amanda, saying bitchy remarks were just her way of hiding because she cared deeply. Not about Eve, apparently. Mm. Kyle will never forget her. He doesn't think any of them will. And then Eve is there in her pigtails, bright lipstick, and cheerleader uniform, barreling past Michael to take her turn. Clip 16.
Hey! Well, what can you say about a woman who let me spend 15 years in prison for something she did? She robbed me of my life, stole my boyfriend, my husband. Oh, and about that husband. Boy, did he turn out to be a sick, simpering lapdog or what? No, you can all pretend to be sad. But me, I'm glad. Hell, I am thrilled. May they both rot in hell.
Okay, Eve, that's enough.
Lexi, you always wanted Peter all over you. Well, here he is! He's all over you now!
So that was, in case you couldn't piece it together, Eve grabbing an urn and like throwing what we're supposed to think are cremains on them, but like they weren't really bodies, I guess. I mean, I guess if there must have been something if they did check the dental records, but like, again, cremation cop, you wouldn't have it this fast.
No. It takes them a day to, well, all right, I won't get into it. Just, that was obviously kitty litter, and we're just going to move on, because it's the series fucking finale. Let's go.
Back at the hospital, Dr. Shulman runs into Michael with Nurse Amy, walking boxes back to his office, because, surprise, Peter named Michael chief of staff in his will. Not how things work. Dr. Shulman is humiliated, though. That's a wrap on her. Goodbye. Mm-hmm. Peter's stuff is gone from the office, but Nurse Amy sees a penny on the desk and tells Michael it's good luck and to make a wish on it. She leaves. He squeezes it in his fist and then snorts at himself just before the door opens and supermodel Victoria Silvstedt enters in a low-cut nurse's uniform, and Michael's like, it worked! But it's not a dream this time. This is Ingrid, Michael's new assistant from physical therapy. Not how hospital employment works, part two. Michael welcomes her with literal open arms and a request that she take a memo, and she sits in his lap as Michael dictates that something's come up. Michael's decided to take a long leave of absence due to the loss of Peter. Ingrid says daily massage is great for stress. Maybe she should come on his trip. She charges a lot for travel, but that's fine. Michael just came into a lot of money. So she kisses his neck, and he says it's good to be chief, and that's a wrap on him as well. Then Eve is in a holding cell, lipstick smeared like whoa, when a presumed sex worker sits on the bench next to her and says she used to be a cheerleader too, and clown face Eve says that's great because she's always relied on the kindness of cheerleaders. Over to the beach house, where Jane is on the phone telling her mother it's a girl. Kyle gets home with Amanda's locket, which was left in an envelope without a note. He repeats what Amanda had planned to do with it in the event of a girl. Jane says they just found that out an hour ago. There must be an explanation. And Kyle goes outside and smiles. And that's a wrap on them. And then we're on a beach in presumed Hawaii, where an efficient in an aloha shirt is pronouncing Peter and Amanda husband and wife because, oh my God, you guys, they didn't die. They kiss and clip 17.
We did it, huh?
You think Michael will keep the secret?
Michael? Yeah. He's got $1 million in cash. The million they think burned up in that cabin.
Yeah, it worked like a charm, didn't it?
You kidding me? Two cadavers burned beyond recognition from the university, switching the dental charts. Mm. No one's going to suspect a thing.
Our own island, miles away from civilization. Do you think we'll get bored?
Yep. Probably. What do you think?
Probably.
That's why we have to have a lot of little kids running around here real soon.
A family? Oh, I hadn't thought that far ahead.
Oh, yeah, I already got the names picked out. You got a Billy and an Allison. You got a Matt, a Jake, a Jane, and a Kyle. Maybe a Michael.
Just no Kimberly, though. Promise?
I promise.
Rude. But I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they kiss again, and they walk off into the literal sunset, and so does this show. For now, we don't know if there's going to be another sequel.
Hold that thought.
And that's it. We got a lot of M's and L's VP to name. So let's go down the line, starting with our episode MVP.
Peter's father.
What did you say, Peter?
Peter's father.
Oh, Peter's father, yes.
Because he, like, had the oil fields that made this...
Mm-hmm.
Richie bait and switch possible.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I'm going to say Peter himself, who had the foresight to keep his passport in his real name in order to be able to flee the jurisdiction. Because,
good point.
The cops presumably never knew or quickly forgot that he had another identity at an earlier time in his life. Least valuable player. I'm going to say Kyle and Jane, because I don't think a lot of Michael. That's a lie. I think a lot of him. But he, as you said, you owe him the chance to react well to finding out he fathered another child, because, like you said, he's not going to want to be involved. He doesn't care. So don't keep this huge secret from him.
Yeah, for that reason, I'm going to say the writers. There was just really a lot of going around the corner to get to the beach house next door in this episode that was not necessary. Just like, wrap it up, do some flashbacks to characters we remember if you want, but all of this, not necessary.
Yep. All right, season 7, most valuable player. I mean... This is more of a most improved, but I'm going to give it to Lexi just to give her something, because she really brought it around at the end, like we said.
I was considering that. Mm-hmm. So for the season.
All 35 fucking episodes of it, or 55, depending on who you ask.
I mean. Amanda.
Yeah.
She pulled it out.
She did.
Even getting character assassinated in the process.
Yeah.
She got back where she was supposed to be.
She did. Season 7, least valuable player.
Eve.
Yeah, Eve.
Bye.
Yeah, for similar reasons, I'm going to go with the technicality that Taylor was technically in this season.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, and so was Billy. For one last time, I'm going to say Billy, even though he was barely
it's
in it.
It's Billy. Why not?
And finally, for the series, all 100-something episodes, MVP. Gotta be Amanda. It's gotta.
I mean, it does. But for the series, like, as the icon of the series, I kind of want to say Kimberly. And as the icon of my heart and inspiration for the ongoing runner, I'm tempted to say Chris. He's still out there, motherfuckers. But I will agree that it's Amanda. Because
okay.
The show wasn't anything until she showed up, and it only stayed something because she hung around.
That's right. Series LVP. Oh, God. Who do I still hate the most? Ooh, I'm going to give it back to the writers, not just for that shitty ending for Amanda before the proper ending, but poor Matt never getting one real love interest and then dying on the road off screen. Rough.
Yeah.
Deserve better.
But I mean, he did spill some tea.
He did.
There's a lot of axes along which you have to examine this question. There aren't really. I will get to the point soon. But it's like, who was there the longest, but also brought the least?
Yeah.
And usually looked terrible in defiance of wonderful genetic gifts. So, Jane. Yeah, you owe Billy a muffin basket because you pulled this out ahead of him. But yeah, fucking Jane. No.
Wow.
Sorry, girl.
We're done.
Next time on Again With This, it's a call-in show. Your questions, comments, fond peanut gallery memories, and therapy about terrible hair. The show's, not yours, but if you have some problems with your bangs, we could talk about that too. Get in on it at 210-920-4699. That's 210-920-HO99. Call, text, or if you like, you can email us a voice memo. That's hello@againwiththispodcast.com. I'm Weird Day Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Aquatic Wedding Ceremony Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And now David T. Cole's trying to kill us. Talk to you next time.
What clip did David T. Cole choose for the series finale ending?
What indeed?
That's
what?
Oh, bing ding a dong ding ding.
Rock! That's my second choice.
Bottom!
Yes!
Yes! I should have given him MVP, but suck
it. Of course. Woo!
Oh my god, we did it.
We did.
Police, open up!
Well, that was fast.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.